You're listening to an audio sermon from Hope Church Toronto West. For more information, please visit hopechurchtw.ca.
It's good to be with you, but Pastor Jason was texting me this morning and he said he sends you his love. He loves you guys, and I'm very glad that he's there ministering at our church, and I'm very thankful to be here with you. And so if you have a Bible, you can turn to Luke 18. We're going to be going through verses 1 to 8. And if you don't have a Bible, the ushers will give a Bible to you. All you got to do is put your hand up, and they'll get that Bible to you. And so, Luke 18. Now, we're coming to the time of the year where we give gifts, where we actually expect gifts to be given to us. See, we give gifts, and God also gives gifts. We live in a world where we give things to people, but God gives things to us as well. And one of the gifts that God has given us is the gift of prayer. God has given to us the gift of prayer. And this is a gift that God wants us to use. Do you know that? He has given us this gift, and he wants us to use the gift. 1 Thessalonians 5 says we are to pray without ceasing. Romans 12, verse 12 says we are to be constant in prayer. Colossians says that we are to continue steadfastly in prayer. God commands us to pray. He tells us we are to do this. Now the question we should ask is, why does he do that? If he says, pray, Marv, this is supposed to be a natural thing in your life. This is supposed to be something that you do every single day. Do it, do it, do it. If God says we are to pray, then the question we should ask is, why? We are to pray because we can't actually deal with the challenges of life on our own. A whole bunch of people should have said amen. Are you guys with me? I know the seats are comfy. But God gives us the gift of prayer because we can't actually handle the challenges of life on our own. And all of us are facing some sort of challenge because we live in a world that is broken by our sin. And so you're either in a challenge right now or one is coming. That is the reality. Jesus says, in this world, you will have trouble. It's true. So you're either in one now or one is coming. And so God gives us this gift. He gives us the gift of prayer to help us through the storm. But here's the thing about prayer. It's hard. Prayer is hard. And all God's people said, prayer is hard. We pray. And our minds start to drift. Don't you notice that sometimes? You can watch hours of Netflix and then you go to pray and you start to yawn. We pray and we feel fake. We're talking and we're starting to say things that we heard other people say, and we're like, I don't talk like this. And so we start to feel like it's a front. We feel fake in prayer. We pray and we wonder, is God hearing anything? We pray and we wonder, is God even there? Is the thing I'm praying, is it just kind of hitting the ceiling and then falling on the floor? Prayer is hard for us. And Jesus knows this. Jesus knows that prayer is hard. And that's why he tells us this parable of this persistent widow. See, in this parable, we're going to learn a lot about God the Father. Jesus tells us this parable because he wants us to know God the Father well, because he knows when we know and understand God, when we know and we're thinking rightly about God, it helps and empowers our prayer life. And this is why we need to pay attention. I don't assume that everybody comes in and you're just ready for the word. There's no assumption in me that you come here and you're just like, I'm excited to hear from the word of God. Sometimes we wonder, is there going to be anything in this for me? Anytime the word of God is open, you open your ears because there's something there for you. And we need to pay attention to this word for this reason, because prayer, and this is gonna show us, prayer is inviting the power of God to flow in your life. Prayer is inviting God's power to flow into our lives and our situations. And that's why Jesus says, verse 1, says, and he told them a parable to the effect that they ought to always pray and not lose heart. Another translation says that we should pray and never give up. Jesus wants us committed to this thing, not giving up. When I was a student in university, every class that had public speaking, had some sort of presentation in it, as soon as I heard it, do you know what I would do? I'd drop the class. I would have my laptop with me. They would be going through the syllabus. I think that's what it's called. I didn't pay much attention. But as soon as I heard the professor say, you're going to have this assignment, these books you have to read, and then you're going to give a presentation, I would be on the website and I would go, drop the class. Done. I'm out. And I'd be looking for something like Introduction to Color, you know, something really easy. Immediately, because it was hard. Public speaking is not something I enjoyed. It's not something I wanted to do at all. And so I was just like, I am not doing that. So I just drop it immediately. I gave up. And for some of us in this room, that's where we are with prayer. We have completely given up on it because it's hard for us. And Jesus does not want that. He wants us to persist in prayer. And so he tells us some things about God. And the first thing he tells us about God the Father is that we don't give up in prayer because God cares. We don't give up in prayer because God cares. Look at verse 2. He said, in a certain city, there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, give me justice against my adversary. And so this woman is coming to this judge for help. She says, give me justice against my adversary. But Jesus says that this judge, he neither feared God nor respected man. And what you have here is someone who is failing completely at the role they have been given. In 2 Chronicles, it says, Jehoshaphat, there it is. Sometimes the names in the Bible, they're just hard, okay? And even, you know, even up here, we mess them up. Jehoshaphat said to the judges, consider what you do, for you judge not for man, but for the Lord. He is with you, giving you judgment. Now then, let the fear of the Lord be upon you. Be careful what you do. So he's supposed to fear God. And in being careful in what he does, he's supposed to help those who are around him who are in need. And this is who she has to go to for help. Does not care. And this woman in that culture, she would have been powerless as a widow. Little or no family around her, and she couldn't get this thing done that she needed. And she had clearly been wronged. It's in the text. It's clear she had been wrong. She says, give me justice against my adversary. She's like, she's coming to him for justice. She says, I need help. And he ignores her. He wouldn't help her. See, sometimes the people in our life who we expect to help us don't. Sometimes the people who we expect to be there for us and not fail us, they fail us. And that's why we are not to put our hope in people. Some of us, the reason why our life is so hard is that we put all of our hope, all of our eggs in the basket of people, and then when people let us down, we're devastated. But we are going to let one another down. And so we don't put our hope in the spiritual leader. We don't put our hope in the politician. We don't put our hope in that person who seems influential in the culture. We put our hope in Jesus Christ alone. Because he is the one who will never fail us. If you are hoping in anyone outside of Jesus Christ, you are going to be disappointed. That is a true reality. Human beings fail one another. They let each other down, but Jesus will never, never fail you. This judge's failure shows that he doesn't care about the woman. See, the judge is like that bus driver. You ever seen that bus driver? They see people running for the bus. And every time I see it, I shake my head. And it's cold. You know, we live in this cold country. I miss Jamaica. I love Canada. I do. But that bus driver and the people are running. Right? The street, like they're coming across the street, and the people who are driving who could go through the green light, they even stop because they're like, that person needs to catch the bus. And the bus driver is just in there kicking it. And they just drive off. And you're like, what's wrong with that person? And they drive, they just don't care. And sometimes we think God is like that towards us. That he does not care what we are going through. And if you're in that spot today and you're wondering, does God care about me? Does he see what I'm going through? Does he understand my hurt? Does he understand my struggle? The answer is yes. He cares deeply. Paul Miller, in his book on prayer, says God is in the matter, no matter what the matter is. That he is in it. 1 Peter 5:7 says, we are to cast all our anxieties on him. Why? Because he cares for you. If you're sitting there today and you're feeling anxious, if you leave here later on this week and anxiety starts to creep up on you and you start to feel it crawling up your back, what you are to do in that moment is to fall on your knees and cast all of your anxieties into the mighty hand of God, because he cares. That he is not detached. That he didn't sort of start things, wind it up, and then back away. That God is intimately involved in our lives, that he cares for us. And so we put our troubles in his mighty hand and we say, God, I am weak. You are strong. And so you handle this struggle. The judge is cold, but he does eventually give in. Look at verse 4. It says, for a while he refused, but afterward he said to himself, though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming. Nobody knows why he was holding out on her, but he does eventually give in. But he doesn't do it because he loves and wants to help her. It's all about him. It's all about him. He only gives in because he loves himself. It's because she gets on his nerves. He says, I will give her justice so she will not beat me down by her continual coming. That phrase, beat me down, in the Greek, it could be translated to give somebody a black eye. So he's like, she is going to wear me out, and so I'm going to help her. She is an inconvenience to him, and he simply wants her to go away. Now, we have been like this judge. There are people in our life, and we help them, but we only help them because they've gotten on our nerves. And we're like, I just want you to go away. And so I'm going to help you, but it's just because I'm just tired of you. Now think about how Jesus treats us. See, Jesus doesn't help us because he wants us to go away. Jesus helps us because he wants us in the best place possible. When we help someone and it's just because they're annoying us, that is not the heart of Jesus Christ. We are operating from a place of selfishness. We're operating from a place of thinking of only ourselves. And that is not loving. We help people because we want them in the best place possible. That's the heart Jesus Christ had for us. And that's the heart we are to have for those around us as we help one another and pray for each other. The judge here says she was continually coming. Now, Jesus in this parable is not teaching that we have to annoy God to get him to help us. That's not what is happening. Her continual coming is a picture of diligence and discipline. It's a picture of diligence and discipline. And she shows us how we are to be in our prayer life. That we are to be and can be diligent and disciplined because God loves to hear from us. Do you know that? Do you believe that? That when you fall on your knees and begin to pray or stand and just sort of have yourself open, that he delights to hear. Psalm 65 verse 2 says, all humanity will come to you, the one who hears prayer. He loves to hear from his children, not hitting the ceiling and falling to the floor. He hears us. Her continual coming also reminds us of our weakness. Do you know that? You see it? She's coming, she's coming, she's coming, she's coming because she can't solve the problem on her own. It's a picture of weakness. She needs justice and she can't get it done. And it reminds us that we are weak. And the longer we live our lives, the longer we go through the storms, the more we will come up against things that we realize, I cannot solve this. One of the things that keeps people away from God is this belief, this lie that we can figure out things on our own, that there's things that we can just do it ourselves. But when we're honest, when we sit back and we just think, we know, we feel it, we're like, I can't do that thing. I feel weak. I hate that feeling. But the Bible is constantly reminding us and calling us into our weakness and just saying, submit and surrender and ask God for his help. Many people are not saved. They don't trust in Christ, and it's all driven by pride. It's this unwillingness to humble ourselves and say, I am weak and I need help. And this widow shows us that in her weakness, she goes to the place where she can get help because she realizes her power is limited. Our power is limited. We can do some things, but we can't do everything. That's why when like my boys are watching TV and that sort of that commercial comes on that says like, you can do whatever you put your mind to, just believe in yourself. I'm like, let's get out of this room. Because that's not true. We can do some things. We can't do everything. We are weak. We are powerless at times. And in prayer, what we do is we go to the one whose power is unlimited. There's limits to our power, but there's no limit to the power of God. And in prayer, we are diligent and disciplined, inviting his power to flow into our lives, to come into that situation that we know we can't fix, that we know we can't solve without him. We are powerless at times, but he is never powerless. He has got unlimited power. So Jesus shows us God cares. He cares about us, but we wonder. Yes, God cares. Yes, he hears my prayer. But is he going to answer? You're like, fine, Marv, you've proved the point. I get it. I see it. It's there. He cares. But we start to wonder, will he answer me though? Is he going to give me an answer as I come to him? And if he does, how will he do it? When will he do it? All those questions are in our minds. Look at verse 6. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge says. And will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Here's our final point. We don't give up in prayer because God will answer. We don't give up in prayer because God will answer. Jesus makes this clear contrast between God and the judge. He calls the judge unrighteous. See, God is everything, everything this judge is not. They are not the same. You know, like peanut butter and jam. Different. Not the same. Jesus wants us to know the character of God. God is righteous. God defends the widow. God delivers the oppressed. God is always, always on the side of what is right. Isaiah 61 says, "For I, the Lord, love justice." Psalm 147, verse 17 says, the Lord is righteous in all his ways, kind in all his works. Isaiah 30, verse 18, "For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all those who wait for him." This is our God. This is the God that we pray to and ask for help. That's why Jesus says, "And will God not give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night?" The answer is yes, he will. We are God's elect, chosen before the foundation of the world. And God's elect cry to him. The crying is important because the crying reminds us that we live in a world that is full of injustice. That every day, acts of injustice take place. We live in a world full of injustice. And that causes us to cry, to wonder, where is God? To wonder, how is this going to be made right? There's racial injustice. Something I've experienced personally. I remember driving home with my friend Sean. He was just at my house the other day. We were driving home in high school. And we turn into our neighborhood. And I remember the police car coming right behind us. And as we turned, we knew we were going to get pulled over. Because this police officer was convinced we didn't live in that neighborhood. And as Sean rolls down the window and we're like, "Officer." And he just says, "What are you doing here?" And we say, "We live up the street." And he says, "You can't live here." And then we knew then we were getting out the car. And so racial injustice is a very real thing, and that causes you to wonder, am I less of a human being? Is there something wrong with me? You do want to cry. Because the pain and the hurt is real. There's racial injustice, there's injustice against the unborn. There's injustice towards Christians. There's injustice in the legal system. Sometimes the guilty people go free. Sometimes the people who aren't guilty go in and stay there for years. We live in a world that is full of injustice. There's sometimes big business, the way they do business in poor countries, exploiting those people. Our world is full of injustice. It is real, that struggle is there, and we cry over those things. Listen to Pastor Thabiti on this. He says, "For several years, we have heard so much about justice. We have witnessed so many pleas and demonstrations for justice. The surest way to get justice in this world for God's people is not by marching, though marching may have its place." There's things that went on in the civil rights movement that was right. Marching does sometimes have its place. The surest way to achieve justice in this world is not by protest signs, though theirs also may be appropriate. The surest way to find justice is never by rioting or burning down your neighborhood, Justice comes most surely by falling on our knees with our heads bowed. When God's justice comes, this is important, it will be perfect, proportionate, and balanced. If we want justice, let us be a praying people. A praying people, because we pray to the one who loves justice, who loves to make things right, and he will. He will make things right. Injustice will bring pain into our lives, but we can take all of that pain and put them in the hands of God. Jesus says he will give them justice speedily. Now we hear that word speedily and we're like, doesn't feel like the answers to my prayer come all that fast? Doesn't feel like the thing that I'm praying about is being answered all that quick. But notice that Jesus says that it will come speedily. He does not say it will come immediately. He says speedily. He doesn't say immediately. See, if God answered our prayer in exactly the way we wanted and in exactly the time that we wanted, he wouldn't be God. We would be God. He would simply be our genie who just dispenses what we want when we want it. See, we call God Lord for a reason, because he is in charge. And so God answers prayers at exactly when he knows they need to be answered. And it's wise. It's wise also for us to keep in mind that God's concept of time is different than ours. 2 Peter says, but do not forget this, that one thing, dear friends, with the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like a day. What seems long to us is short to God. When Jesus says it will come speedily, he means according to God's timing. So he will answer. And when he does, he will answer us in the wisest way. Tim Keller, I love what he says on this. Tim Keller says, God will either give us what we ask for or give us what we would have asked for if we knew everything he knows. Deep, right? Timmy K. What the reason why you're like, oh yeah, because you realize God has all the details. He sees the end from the beginning. He sees it all. God sees around the bend. We can't see it. And so he says, Marv, if you knew what I knew, you wouldn't pray that. If you had the power I had, if you could see to the degree that I could see, you would ask for this. So I'm going to give you this because I know better than you. I'm going to give you this because I know what's best for you. Marv, you don't even know what's best for yourself. You think you do, but I know. And so he says, you should have asked for this. This is what you're getting. And that's a good father. And so he says, I can see it all. And so when God gives us the answer, we are to trust. Sometimes we're like, I don't feel like my prayer got answered. It did. You just didn't like what it was. And so he will answer because he knows and sees all. He has all the data. And so when we get frustrated in our prayer life, we are to remember God knows what is best. And he's going to answer according to his timing and in the ways that are wisest to him. We are in his story and he weaves it at his pace. Jesus ends the parable with a question. He says, I tell you, he will give them justice speedily. Verse 8, nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Prayer is an act of faith. And Jesus says, when I come, and he is coming. When I come, Will I find people praying? Will we be praying for God to be honored? Will we be praying and asking God for our daily needs? Will we be praying for the kingdom of God to come? These are the things that Jesus wants to find us doing. He asked this question, again, to prompt that we would never give up in prayer. Jesus shows us we aren't to give up in prayer, but do you know what Jesus also does? Jesus shows us the right attitude to have in prayer. Jesus says, don't give up, but Jesus also shows us the right attitude we are to have. Luke 20, 42, it says, this is Jesus praying. He says, Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done. Jesus, the night before he was going to die for our sins, he prays. And he says, Father, in an honest prayer, if you are willing, if there's any other way that we can do this, if there's any other way we can go about saving Marv, if there's any other way, let's do that. He says, if you are willing, let's do it another way. But then he says, not my will, but yours be done. Do you pray like that? Or do you fall on your knees and you say, my will, do my thing, do what I want, do what I want. Answer me in the ways that I want. Or do we pray like Jesus Christ and say, not my will, but yours be done. Because that is how we are to pray. Because Jesus prays that, and the Father looks at Jesus Christ and he says, the way we are going to do it is you're going to die. Thank you for your openness and honesty. I love you, but I love them too. And this is how we're going to do it. And Jesus gets up from that prayer and he says, the time has come, let's go. And he walks willingly. And he willingly goes to the cross and he dies in our place. He prays, yes, but he prays with a will that is surrendered to God. And that is how we are to pray. We don't give up on prayer, but our will is surrendered. And we're saying, God, I'm asking for this thing, but I'm willing to do your thing because you know best. And so we pray like Jesus Christ. God says, the way to save them is that you must die in their place. And Jesus willingly goes and dies. And we are rescued when we place our faith in Jesus Christ. And then we're given this brilliant gift of prayer because we still have to live in the storm. And we are given this gift so that we can go to the throne of grace, it says, and find help in a time of need. Prayer is a gift to us from God. It's not the ultimate gift. The ultimate gift is his son, Jesus Christ, who willingly dies in our place. So now that as we live our lives here on this earth, we can pray and ask God for help, who hears and cares deeply about us, and who will answer in his perfect timing. Remembering the character of God helps us in our praying, and prayer is inviting the power of God to flow in our lives and our situation. And God in his grace gives it to us. That's why Jesus wants us committed to it, never giving up on it. Let's pray. Father, we, in this moment, use the gift that you have given us, the gift of prayer, to ask you to help us to be prayerful and to have an attitude and a heart like Jesus Christ, who prays in full honesty, but also prays with a will that is fully surrendered to his Father, who says, not my will, but yours be done. And because Jesus was surrendered to your will, O God, we have been rescued and saved. And we have been given this gift to help us in our struggle, I pray, Father, that you would make us a people who are deeply committed to prayer, because we know that there are things that we cannot do, that we cannot solve. We need your help. You have to do it all. And so, Father, we thank you for your grace and your kindness to us. And I pray, Lord God, that you would help us to have hearts that are so surrendered to you and are so thankful to you. As we see in your word, your grace and who you are, your kindness, you're not detached, you care so much. You love us and you will help us. Please help us to believe that. We pray, God, in the powerful and precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.